We've got a special treat, another special treat for us today. We have some visitors with us. Clay Dale and his family's here, and Clay's going to share with us a little about what the Lord has laid on his heart. We got a chance to catch up a little. We bumped into each other a couple times through the years, and know Clay's wife Megan and her mom, and met Tegan and Zeke as children today. Clay is, I think, just to give a little background on him, kind of came from, I guess you'd maybe call it just a legalistic background as a young Christian, and he's been experiencing through the years the freedom that Jesus has been showing him. And it's an exciting thing to talk to him and hear what the Lord's sharing with him. And one of the things that the Lord has laid on his heart recently is the desire to go into the mission field, from a pastor's position to a missionary. So I want to hear all about it. I want to hear how the Lord laid it on your heart and where you want to go. We've talked about it, but I want you to share with everybody what you think your vision is and what the Lord has for you and your family. So Clay, come on up and share with us what the Lord's laid on your heart.
Good morning. It's good to see everybody. Thank y'all for the warm welcome. There's several things that are taking place this morning that I have missed, and this is going to sound funny, especially since, you know, our background is mixed with being a Baptist, but the plate being passed. That's the first time I've had a plate passed in front of me since the whole pandemic started. It's a blessing to me. I know that may sound funny, but I'm glad to see that y'all are still doing things the way that they used to be done. That's a blessing. As Pastor Kurt said, my name is Clay Dale, and my wife, Meg, they don't want to be embarrassed by standing up, but we'll try to greet y'all a little bit later on. But my wife, Meg, and our son, Ezekiel, he goes by Zeke, and our daughter, Tegan. Zeke is getting ready to turn 13 years old. Tegan is 15 years old, and so they're, you know, adults, and we try to listen to them as much as we can and learn what we can. I'm kidding about that. We don't. That's a joke. We try to make them listen to us, and you know how that goes. So. What's that? She knows better, but we won't let her speak this morning because she would tell you everything about us. So this is my time, Tegan. You just stay seated. But no, again, thank you very much for having us here. Pastor Kurt said, I've been pastoring for about 12 years leading up to this past August. First church was Powder Mill Baptist up on Powder Mill. Many of y'all are familiar with that church and that area. Then was over at, most recently, at Liberty Hill Baptist on the other side of Spruce Pine over in the Esoto community. And I've always thought it interesting that the name of that church being Liberty Hill. And it is a place where the Lord showed our family a lot of liberty and helped us to understand the liberty that comes with the knowledge of Jesus Christ, with salvation, the liberty that comes with serving Him and being able to reach people in the world. I'm trying to condense the story, but it took several short-term mission trips personally. My family didn't get to go with me, and would come back many times and be excited and want to motivate the church, to get out and do missions and such as that. A couple years ago, was able to go over to Nepal for a little while and help with some church planters over there, and it was a blessing. I really felt something different, but couldn't quite identify it. Came back, got back in a pulpit as a pastor, and was a little uneasy for a little while. And then, you know, kind of things settled down a little bit, and I thought, okay, well, I was just excited because I've been on that mission trip. But things kept coming up in our lives, and missions opportunities and a burden for missions and such as that. And then most recently, we went last year over to Ireland for a little while. And while we were there, we went, Meg's father lives over there, and we went there, you know, primarily for him. But as we were walking in the streets, talking to people, man, it was like the Lord was just opening our eyes at some of the needs and some of the lack of knowledge that people have about Jesus Christ and that liberty and the freedom. And we saw how so many people have this misinterpretation of church and what church really is, you know. There's a lot of people out there in the world that have been taught various things about the church, and they have been pushed down by that. And therefore, there's a lot of folks who don't have hope in their life. So to bring that forward a little bit, we did respond to the Lord's call in August. Took a month of July off from the church just to pray and seek the Lord's face as to what he wants us to do in our life. And went back to the church and shared with Liberty Hill over there that we felt the Lord was calling us into missions. And when we did that, in that process, as I told Pastor Kurt, we put ourselves out to the Lord. And, you know, I don't compare myself at all to Abraham, but to use him as an example, we wanted to give the Lord a blank contract. Here's our family, Lord. We can think of a lot of places in the world that we would love to go, you know. I mean, there's some beautiful vacation destinations out there. We could be missionaries there, right? But that's not the way it works, is it? So we just said, Lord, here's our family. We want you to do with us what you want. And we trusted him. Long story short, we had some friends that we were talking to, kind of some mentors that are missionaries, and they recommended that we speak with some of their friends who 13 years ago had felt the call to missions, answered it, walked away from their entire lives and went to Costa Rica to be missionaries there. And when we spoke with them, we were asking questions, and the gentleman said, you know what, you've got questions I can't answer. He said, let me put you in touch with our regional director. And the regional director was with an organization called ABWE. And the Lord kept bringing ABWE up in our lives. And so we prayed about, searched them out, found out what they were about. And when we were speaking with that regional director, he was telling us about what ABWE does in the world and what they were doing in different South American countries. And then he came to the country or the nation of Uruguay. And he said, we've never had anyone go there with our organization. They approved the field to be open 30 years ago, but no one had ever felt led to go there. We thought, wow, that's interesting. One of our prayers had been for the Lord to use us to fill in a gap, you know, where it was needed. And so we began to dig into the nation of Uruguay. And what we found out is that there, more so than a lot of other places, they don't have the hope of Jesus Christ. And I'll get into that a little bit more in detail in just a few minutes. But as we prayed about that nation, he began to burden us and put that on our heart. And so we told him we felt that's where we needed to go. We went through the application process and were appointed as missionaries to Uruguay with ABWE in November of 2020. And so we are new at the process, still green, still wet behind the ears, but we're trying to figure this thing out. I shared with you, Pastor, that it's been an interesting journey, still is for me, going from the pastor hosting a missionary to being the missionary that's being hosted. And there's some dynamic there that I'm still trying to figure out. So if I stutter or I sound like a preacher more than a missionary, you'll forgive me, right? Maybe. We'll see later on. I think what they're saying is it depends on what I say, right? But one thing that I'd like to ask you to do as we look at a few slides and I share a little bit more with you is to think of people in your life that may want to hear more about missions, that may want to hear more about the missions to Uruguay. And I pray every day that the Lord will lead us and guide us to the people that he wants to help us get to where we need to go. And there's no secret about it. You know, we can pretend like we don't need money, but it's a true fact. We need it to get where we're going. But here's what we need more than anything, and it's prayers. The Lord can... He could take anybody. He could take the government. He could take anybody and supply our financial need if he saw fit. But there's something that only God's people can do, and that's pray. Only God's people have that relationship to where you can take my family before the Lord at the throne of grace and just plead for us, for our safety, for our health, for so many different things, for the effect that we could have for the glory of Christ in another country. We read the Great Commission there this morning, recited it, and that really is the basis for missions, isn't it? And it's not just for missionaries that are going out in the world somewhere. We're all missionaries. I hope you agree with that. Some, in within a family, some across the street. And then there's some of us that the Lord does put in our heart to go. But the important thing is that we are teaching people about Jesus Christ and helping them find that hope. If you will, Chad, go to the next slide, please. I told him I was going to give him the high sign, but there it is. So here you can see ABWE International. That stands for the Association of Baptists for World Evangelism. But don't let that scare you. We know how those Baptists are, right? It is an independent association. In other words, it's not affiliated with, say, the Southern Baptist Convention or such as that. It is a missions organization that's made up of people from different areas and different walks of life. They have a central doctrine that I believe every one of us in here agrees with. And it's been affirmed this morning in what we recited. And so what they ask of missionaries is that you believe and you have faith in this doctrine, and you're able to get along and get out in the world and take the gospel to those who need it. ABWE was started 93 years ago. Just give you a brief history, as brief as possible. There was a gentleman that was actually in medical missions, and he was in the Philippines. And his mission organization told him, you need to focus more on the medicine and less on the gospel, less on evangelism. And he said, that's not the way it's supposed to be. He said, medicine comes secondary to the gospel. And so he broke away from that missions board and started ABWE. And for the last 93 years, going on 94, you can see there they're in over 70 countries. I think it's up to 75 now. They've got over 1,000 missionaries. They've established over 100 theological Bible training programs. And all that comes into play with the vision. They have over 5,000 churches that have been planted. ABWE is not a missionary sending organization. This is one of the things that we like about it. They believe it's the church's responsibility to send missionaries. ABWE facilitates the church sending missionaries. The vision with ABWE is there on the slide. It's to fulfill the Great Commission by multiplying leaders, churches, and missions movements among every people. So our missions vision or plan is to go to Uruguay and to evangelize first in the marketplace, in daily life. Just get out there and build relationships with people. Begin to invite those people as the Lord leads into a prayer group at our house, into a Bible study. And as the Lord develops that in their lives, then we believe He will identify leaders that He desires to lead a new church there. And so as it grows within our household, and we try to live in front of them, not just speak the gospel, but to live it in front of them, then the plan is to establish a church. But not a church that we are going to lord over, or that we are going to stay there and pastor forever, because the whole idea behind this is to teach them how to do church, what it meant to be. And then we will step away as they are established and start another one somewhere else. And the end result is that these churches that are being planted, number one, would understand and have faith in Jesus Christ. Number two, they would be equipped to disciple the people in their community. And number three, that they themselves would then be able to send out missionaries to other parts of the world. So that's kind of a brief overview of our vision and what we want to do. If you will, Chad. Here there's just some statistics, and I don't want to bore you with those, but Uruguay is, and I still don't know that I'm saying it correctly, I say it three or four different ways, and I'm trying to narrow down the right one, but one of the interesting things, no one in my family has ever been there. It really is a blank contract. This is what the Lord laid on our heart, and so we have a lot to learn, and we are learning about it. It's a little over halfway down on the eastern coast of South America. It's about 5,000, a little over 5,000 miles from here. The nation of Uruguay, it's not a large nation. Population about 3.5, 3.5. It's a very interesting dynamic there. They are the most literate country in South America. The reason for that is that several years ago, the government, it was actually the first nation in the world that the government supplied every child with a computer, with a laptop, for educational purposes. Didn't matter who they were, that's what they got. They also have a running, I'm not sure when it was established, Meg may remember, but they also established that every single child in the nation, regardless of where they are, they have free education all the way through university, all the way through college, in the state colleges. So that has produced a people who are educated. is produced of people who have a great understanding of secular things, of worldly things. The education that they receive does not include anything about the church, nothing about Jesus Christ. It's complete separation of church and state. And this has led to a couple other statistics there that are truly disturbing, and some of the ones that really pierced our hearts in the very beginning. The suicide rate there is twice what it is in the U.S. It's at 18%. Right now, United States, it's a 9% suicide rate. So in that aspect, we see that people, as they grow up, and they have this idea of success, and they have this idea that these pictures of wealth and privilege and such, and that's what you're supposed to attain to. And they're taught that is what life is about. And then as they don't reach that, or they do reach it and find out that it's empty, then they have no hope and they give up. Coupled with that is a legal abortion rate of 18.5% per 1,000 pregnancies. So we can see where with a suicide rate and an abortion rate that high, they have no hope on either end of life, right? I hope that disturbs you like it has us. You know, don't get into politics or anything like that. This is not the place for that. And I'm a Christian before I'm anything else. But the point is, without Jesus Christ, people can't know what life really is, what true life is. So we find there that the religion and the way that it's kind of broken down, you can see at the bottom of the screen the statistics, there is 32.5% Catholic. You would expect that, right? And that's traditional Roman Catholic, Catholicism. Now, an interesting thing is about 70-something percent of that 32.5%, they're only Catholic because that's what they told them. They don't go to Mass. They don't go to participate in anything. They're just Catholic because mom and dad was, grandparents were, because it's traditional there. So you could, in many aspects, say that they are unchurched. And then you have, and this one really, really rocks the boat, 47% that are atheist or agnostic. Atheism, believing that there is no God. Agnosticism, being that there's something, but we just don't know what it is, basically. And so you have this society that is 80% of people who do not have an understanding of who God is and who His Son Jesus Christ is. And then we have other religions, which are made up of Rastafarianism. It's made up of some of the dark religions from Africa. Africa's not that far away from South America. Those would be some of the occults, some voodoo, such as that. Also, there's other Protestant religions. But as far as those who share our doctrine and our beliefs specifically, there's 0.4%. 0.4% of 3.5 million people believe the way that you and I believe. Isn't that amazing? So if you go home and you get on the internet and you pull up the nation of Uruguay and you look there, then what you're going to see is these pictures of a beautiful resort, a South American destination, and those are there. You'll see all the technology in an established city. It doesn't look like a third world country. And in many ways, it's not. But what is there is a whole bunch of people who don't know Jesus. There's a whole bunch of people who are focused on themselves, and they believe the whole point in life is to be successful, to gain finances and to gain acclaim and success in society. And that, of course, as we know in our own country and in other places, will result in a whole lot of orphans. If you will, Chad, go to the next page, please. Here in this picture is SOS Children's Village, is what it's called. But these are basically street kids. These are the kids who they were not aborted, but they weren't cared for. They're just put out on the street. And so the parents go on with their life. You know, it's really a sad thing. And we don't just use children to try to get your heart, But here's what we see when we look at that. We see lives that could make a difference in the world. We see a group of young people here who, with the knowledge and understanding of Jesus Christ in their life, through salvation, faith in Him, then they could go on and plant churches and make differences. They could change the government of their country. They could do so many things. but there's nobody there that's really giving them a chance. We feel like the Lord has called our family to go there to that nation of Uruguay, to meet those people, to show those people that what Jesus is love. That what he is someone who knows about their sins and who loves them anyway. And that he is the one and only way to eternal life and true hope. We want to share that with them and see what God's going to do in their life. See what he'll do with these young people. Again, this is almost a restatement of our vision, but our goal is to evangelize and discipleship through church planting. We also just finished recently the first track of some biblical counseling. Because one of the things that is there is crisis pregnancy. There's crisis counseling, great needs for them. Suicide prevention, all of those things. So we want them to see that these Christians, these people who claim Jesus' name and love him, that they are there for me to talk to. They are there to encourage me. And they're going to listen to my problems and help me find answers. So part of our ministry will be counseling. Also that leadership development. Not leadership as far as somebody going into, you know, economics such as that or business world, but the leadership within the church. We hope to be able to show them from the scriptures and what it takes to be the church, and then help them to go and get the education that they need in order to come back and operate as the body of Christ. Of course, with the children, you have the children's ministries, the VBS ministries. We have found some statistics in some areas where it's really interesting. So the government is completely secular. They allow almost anything. The country's very, very liberal, which on one hand could seem bad. On the other hand, you can go there as a Christian and you can share the gospel freely, and they're not going to stop you. But what we found is that the government will actually send money and funnel money through some church organizations if it's helping the community. Isn't that interesting? I don't think it works that way here very often, does it? So the way we see it, the Lord's gone before us, and he's actually prepared a place where when the workers are in the field, man, he's going to be able to do some great and mighty things. So through the VBS and the children's ministry and that social welfare, we can see the Lord opening some really, really big doors. But we got to get there in order to see that accomplished, right? So we are currently in pre-field ministry. Pre-field ministry is what most people know as deputation, I think. That may be, deputation may be a Baptist phrase. I'm not sure. I was raised in the Presbyterian church. I'm what you might call a cataclysmic Presbyterian, if that makes any sense. I went through the catechisms, learned them all. Mama Lo Avery, if any of y'all remember Miss Mama, she drilled the catechisms into our head when we were children, and appreciate that very much. It made it lay a good foundation. And then, of course, I, you know, lost my mind, and we got in Baptist church and all that kind of stuff. Listen, you pray for us, right? No, I'm joking. You know what's important is that we believe in Jesus Christ. People do things different ways, but we, through faith in him, are all the body of Christ, right? So in our pre-field ministry, the greatest thing that we're trying to do is to raise awareness of the need. Most of the people that we've talked to, when we mention the nation of Uruguay, they think, where is that? You know, I've never heard of that. What goes on down there? I've read about people who often think, you know, they relate it to Uganda, and they think we may be going to Africa, but that's not it. There is a very large lack of understanding about that nation. It is the least evangelized nation in South America. And I think part of it is because when people say South America, they think Brazil. They think Chile. They think Argentina, the larger country. But nobody mentions the little nation of Uruguay. So we want to raise the awareness of those needs. We also, of course, have financial needs. And it's not something that like I said earlier, that we try to sidestep or want to be shy about. The truth is, the money that we need and the money that's given to us, it's not actually given to us. We're a vehicle. It's the Lord's money that he's trusted people with. And when his people give that, I tell you what, that in a bulletin, great illustration. I wish I had that in a slide up here. That's wonderful, because that's the way it works. When people give money to the church, and when it passes from the church into the hands of missionaries throughout the world, then those missionaries go and they establish the churches. They share the gospel. They help people to see Jesus Christ. And, you know, we know that Paul, there in the scripture in one place, he said, it's not that I desire a gift, but that it may abound to your account, right? Paul made it clear that it wasn't that I want the gift. We're not asking you to support us so that we can go and have vacation. That's not what it's about. You see these figures here, our committed monthly support in our budget currently is at $7,671. Of that $7,600 a month, when we first heard that, we thought, oh my goodness, we've never lived on that kind of money. Well, here's the thing, that's $1,400 a month. Of that is our actual salary, $700 for my wife and $700 for me. The rest of that money is for planting churches. It's for buying Bibles. It's for getting into the hands of the people what they need. There's also a large cost there. It's called O&P. That stands for outfit and passage. It's $45,000 to take a family of four and completely relocate them from the United States to Uruguay. That includes a whole lot of things. You know, we won't go into all those details, but there's a lot of insurance, as you can imagine, that's required in that. International health insurance is, it'll make you feel better about whatever insurance you've got here. I can guarantee you that. But we're thankful for it. And then, of course, the third part of our pre-field ministry is to develop contacts or partnerships with people like you, with churches like this. And as I said, the money is important, but those partnerships, it's something that we see more as family relationships. Because here's what my family and I need more than anything. When we get to Uruguay, when we're starting out, and when the devil attacks us, we need people who we can call home or we can send a letter or an email to and say, I need you to pray for me. I need the church to pray really hard right now for what we're facing. We talked with some missionaries that are no longer in Uruguay, and they actually said within their group they had a name for that country, and it's called the Cemetery of Missions because it is so difficult there. With a people that's highly educated, they think they already have all the answers. What are these people going to tell me that I don't already know? That's kind of a discouraging thing to hear. With ABWE, they generally, when missionaries go out, they tell them to set a goal of planting maybe 5 churches in 10 years or a goal of 2 churches in 5 years. I want to share, if you don't hear anything else about ABWE, I want you to hear this. This is what they told us. That our goal should be to have 1 convert in the first 5 years. Because that field is so difficult to share the gospel in. As I said, you could pull up pictures of Uruguay all you want and you'll see some beautiful sights. And that's what they want you to see. But what you can't see is the darkness of the heart that are there. The emptiness that exists in that society. We need each and every one of you to take us before the Lord and pray for us. If you will, Chad. These are our... Yes, sir. Okay, yeah. It's on our prayer needs, a survey trip. It was in the budget numbers there that you saw before. It was a figure of about $8,000. So what we're doing there, it's optional for missionaries who are going to a field where they already have a team. They can go down before and survey the area, figure things out, get a lay of the land. For us, being the first ABW missionaries to go into this country, this trip is critical. We are going to survey because there's no one there that can tell us this is the way things are. This is what you need to do. So we have tentatively planned for the end of the month of April to go down for about 3 weeks. Part of that time will probably be quarantine. Right now, the country's not open for tourists to come in. There is an option possibly of us filing for a special exemption that we may look into. But it may be several months, depending on their regulations before we actually get to go. But in that survey trip, our responsibilities would be to go and identify the specific area to begin a ministry. Where is the need the greatest? Where can the impact be the greatest when we first hit the ground? We also have to identify a place to live. We have to find a neighborhood that's safe to have a family. You know, there's so many things. We've got to find doctors. We've got to figure all of these things out that we oftentimes take for granted. So does that answer that? So that survey trip is exactly that, to go and survey the area, to put boots on the ground. Reconnaissance, if there's any veterans in here, that would be a reconnaissance mission. But we hope to be able to do that soon, and we want y'all to pray for that. As you can see here, it's one of our needs. Not only pray that we would be safe in that time, and the Lord would show us what we need to know, but pray that the country would open up so that we could get there. We're anxious. We feel like we should have been there yesterday. We should have been there last year doing this work. But we trust God's timing. But number one on our prayer needs is the salvation of the Uruguayan people. You know, as I've already shared with you, that is more important to us than anything. And we believe that's more important to God than anything else. Also, the physical and mental strength to face the battles. You and I both know that we wrestle not against flesh and blood, right? We wrestle against a spiritual enemy, an enemy that we can't always see, an enemy that we can't lay our hands on and strangle the life out of when we want to. The warfare is here. The warfare is here. And we need your help with that. We need your support. Of course, the financial support is needed. We ask you to pray for our children. This is tough on them, you know. There's several things that the Lord is working out in our life that he's doing, and we believe it's affirmation that this is what he wants us to do. With ABWE and actually, IMB and a lot of other mission organizations, they generally won't send a family with teenagers into the field because it's a difficult transition. ABWE has had a standing rule that they don't send single families into the mission field. They always have to go with the team. But because of the need that's there, because of the timing and what the Lord's laid on our hearts, he's seen fit for us to do both of those things. But it's not easy on the kids. God has blessed us. In Tegan and Zeke, of course it's my kids. I could go on and on and on. We could stay here forever and talk about that. But he's blessed us with two children that understand what the gospel means. Two children that also have a heart for other people. But that doesn't mean it's going to be easy. We want you to pray for them and their parents as well. And team members. One of the things that we've been tasked with is throughout this process and the years to come is to build a team to help us there on the ground, in country, in Uruguay. So, you know, I always put it out there, you never know who the Lord's working on. If you feel that little twitch, like maybe you're supposed to go somewhere and do something for God internationally, love to talk to you. You know, if you've heard a friend or a child or a grandchild that's been possibly talking about missions, we'd love to talk to them as well. We need good quality people that God's calling into the mission field so that we can build a team. We can't do this alone. There's a team on the ground in the nation, and there's a team at home, and we need to fulfill both of those. So that was a lot of information really quick, but I do want to give you this. I want to give you this piece of scripture, and it's probably familiar to you. In 1 Corinthians chapter number 12, Paul wrote this to the church there at Corinth. For as the body is one and hath many members, and all members of that one body, being many, are one body, so also is Christ. For by one Spirit we are all baptized into one body, whether we be Jews or Gentiles, whether we be bond or free, and have been all made to drink into one Spirit. For the body is not one member, but many. When I stand here and I look at this congregation, I don't see a whole lot of different people. You know, by all rights, my personality, I should be nervous as could be getting up here in this position. But what I see is brothers and sisters. What I see are people who the Lord has given an opportunity to reach out internationally into missions, to be a hand, you know, to be a head, to be some function of the body. That's what we need you for, to carry out this mission. We believe, and it's missionary scripture, probably been read and said many times, here in the church, but there in Romans chapter number 10 and verse number 15, he says, how shall they preach except they be sent? Right? We have to be sent, and we trust that God will burden and he will bring into your heart what you should do to be a part of that, to pray for us more than anything. If I could pray in closing, I'll turn it back over to you, Pastor. Dear Heavenly Father, we come to you in the name of Jesus Christ, your Son, the only way access to you. Lord, we pray that you would have mercy on us all. God, you have made it very clear there in the book of Matthew, the instructions that you gave, what we call the Great Commission, that we are supposed to go and we're supposed to share the good news of Jesus Christ, to teach it, to raise people up in it, to establish them in your church for your glory. Lord, I pray that you would help Walnut Grove. God, you know the many needs that are here. You know each individual person. You know us as one as we believe in your Son. Lord, I just pray that you would minister to them in a way that only you can. God, I pray you would stir in their hearts a desire. Lord, that there would be a new fire or an old flame that is fanned today. God, we ask that your Holy Spirit would stir in all of us and motivate us to get out there and do what we can to serve you. Lord, we believe that the days are short. We know that they're shorter than they have been. God, we don't pretend to know when you're going to bring this thing to a close, but we trust that we will stand before you one day soon. And when we do, Lord, we just want to hear you say, "Well done, my good and faithful servant." God, I pray that you'd equip us to do just that. And it's in Christ's name, again, we ask it. Amen.
Amen. Hang on just a second. I just want to give people an opportunity to ask you any questions, if they had any.
Absolutely.
Does anybody have any questions that you would like to ask Clay about his ministry? That just want to give you a turn in the back. Go ahead. Right behind you.
So y'all go there, and then you'll have you establish a residency based on the location that you find. I guess location will be your first choice, yes. What city you'll be staying in. And then you'll get a place. And then will you do like home Bible studies initially to start the church? And then eventually you'll get a building. And then who comes up with the name or the affiliation and accountability for the churches at that point?
Okay, so as far as name and such as that, it will be up to the local church. We'll help guide them through, you know, those preliminary decisions. You're correct about everything else there. That's how it'll be established. And then as far as the accountability goes, we're not in a hurry to leave that church. We will be there establishing them in the doctrine that we believe in. And ABWE has teams that are very well trained that can come in and help us to establish and organize that. And then, you know, that church will not ever be left out on its own. It will always be there. We'll come back and visit and such as that as far as accountability goes. Does that answer your question?
Yeah, sure does. Thank you.
Okay.
Appreciate that.
And I will say this. I left this out. As far as location goes, the capital city of Montevideo, there's 72% of the population, I believe, that lives there. I know it's over 70% that live in that city. So that is obviously right off the top of our head, that is our target area because that's where the most people are.
Am I correct that you have the rich and the poor? And no in-between people there in that country?
Yes, ma'am, very much. We have some prayer cards that we'll leave with you, and we can get you some more. And there's a picture on the prayer cards that, was it on one of the slides? Did we include it on one of the slides? But you can see it's slums in the foreground, and then just across the water you can see the capital city of Montevideo. And that really is a good picture of what you're talking about, Ms. Gladys. There is a complete separation there, the haves and have-nots. And the haves, as far as we can tell, care nothing about the have-nots. More of a nuisance than anything. So there's definitely many welfare opportunities. They speak Spanish. It's a little bit different Spanish than, you know, what we consider Spanish here. And that's another thing that I should mention is once we get fully funded at 100%, then our first destination will be in San Jose, Costa Rica for up to a year of Spanish language school because it's so critical when you go in to preach the gospel in another language that you're able to articulate, you know, the word of God in that language.
I was wondering if you and Meg are going to teach the kids or will they have a school they go to? Will it be homeschooled?
Great question. Meg, and I'm not even going to say we, because Meg has been homeschooling our children for 3 years now and is doing an excellent job. When we go to San Jose, the Spanish Institute there actually has a Christian school for the students that are there. And so the children will go to that school while we're in Costa Rica. When we get to Uruguay, then it will be a homeschooling situation. Right now, both of the children are taking online courses from Liberty University. Liberty University's Online Academy is what it's called. So that's able to be done anywhere in the world.
Okay. Anybody else got questions? Where are your contact cards, your prayer cards, or whatever?
Meg has the prayer cards, and we have some small business cards as well that you can stick in your wallet.
Megan, if you will, when we're done, you can put some on that table three rows behind you, and then on the table in the very back, depending on which door people go out, they can grab one. Anybody else have any questions? I have one question.
Yes, sir.
What would you say was the singular point that changed your heart and made you say, this is what I want to do. I want to go on mission, not necessarily Uruguay, but I feel called to go to missions. What, if you could narrow it down to one event, what would that be?
Absolutely. I can't tell you a date or a time, but I was in the pulpit at Liberty Hill Baptist Church, and the Spirit convicted me heavily that everybody I was looking at had a Bible, they had Bible teaching, they had access to multiple resources to learn about the Word of God, but there were people in the world who had none of that. And I'm not going to pretend like I was a great pastor by any means. I know there's people out there that could do it better. Right now, between Pastor Kurt and I, we could probably come up with a long list of men who could pastor churches. But then you have other nations where there's not one. So that would be, if I could identify one point, that would be it. When he broke me down and I crumbled, would be in my office one day shortly after COVID started, and they began to shut countries down and stop flights. And honestly, I was brokenhearted. I got down on my knees and I confessed to God that I had been wasting too much time. And I say wasted lightly, right? We were serving God, but I felt like the doors were closing. You know, used to, if you had the money, you could get on a plane, go anywhere in the world.
Right.
But that day was ending, and everything's different now. And so that would have been another point, I guess.
That was a good, I mean, it sounds like almost like you had a little bit of a vision from the Lord when you saw the people with the Bibles and all that.
Yes, sir.
He translated that into a need that's out there. Anybody else have anything before we close? Well, okay, Vern, one more thing. Okay, just shout it out.
I sure do. Actually,
just can't repeat the question because some people are listening to the parking
lot. Oh, okay. All right. He was asking about the ethnic breakdown in the nation, you know, the indigenous people. What's the makeup? So actual indigenous people is the smallest minority that's left in the country. If I say it right, the Mestizo people, and they, like you say, are indigenous. They are what you would think of more of the Brazilian people. Uruguay was, it's been through so many battles and things like that, changing hands. Brazil actually tried to take over at one point. The majority of the people there are of Spanish or Portuguese descent, Spanish being from Spain originally. So that makes up, I think, 82% of the population is that Spanish-Portuguese mix.
Okay. Anybody else? Well, we as a church want to bless you with a gift for coming and to encourage you to push on. And if anybody individually wants to be any part of the support team, then grab one of these cards that Megan's going to set out in the two exit places in the church. So we're just excited for you. I'd love to hear people talk about God speaking to them and you know, God doing things in their lives, and it sounds like that's what's going on with your family. It's just exciting. You have a lovely family, and we're excited to be a part of it.
Thank you so much.